morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Village Baptist Church. We are so happy to see all of you here with us today, and to those of you worshiping with us online. We're going to start this morning by taking a few moments to get up, stretch our legs a little bit, say good morning to those around us, our friends and neighbors, and maybe introduce ourselves to someone that we haven't had the pleasure to meet yet. So after a few moments, we will come back together, sing the chorus of Sweet, Sweet Spirit, and we'll continue on in worship from there. Quite a few announcements today. The Outreach Commission has a meeting Thursday at 7 p.m. on Zoom, so be sure to join that if you are in Outreach. Exciting for the Ladies Tuesday Bible Study is starting to resume their weekly meetings this week. Seeing some clapping from the congregation. The Summer Missions Project, we have one more week until the August 6th deadline. So the goal is 50 backpacks for local kids at the local schools. There are a couple different options. There's information in the weekly email and also in the narthex. You can donate via Tithely, or you could write a check, or you could fill the backpack on your own. So I would direct you to the narthex for more information on how to do that as we approach the deadline for that project. Let's see, from August 21st to the 23rd, from 6 to 8 p.m., we are having the Vacation Interfaith School. This is a very unique opportunity that allows 8 through 12-year-olds to learn about Christian, Jewish, and Muslim faith traditions. If you or someone you know might be interested in that, there is registration information on the Village website. Another very important announcement, there is a survey about the pastor search process that is available. It went out via email this week, so please check your email if you haven't seen that come through. If you're not an email sort of person, there are hard copies being displayed right now, thank you, in the back of the sanctuary. We are looking for some sort of vessel to put those in on the back table, but if you do not see somewhere to leave it on the back table, you can leave it in the church office, or you can give it to any member of the pastor search committee. That's a really important opportunity for us to hear from the congregation on what the congregation feels the needs for the new pastor will be. So please take the time to fill that out and submit it. From the Deacon Family Ministry, if you do not have a deacon, please reach out and let the church know. We would love to sign you to a flock. The August edition of the Village Voice is now available. That should have been emailed out, or I believe if, again, you don't get email, one will be mailed to you. And last but certainly not least, we are very, very excited and honored and blessed to have our very own Reverend Stephanie Ouellette to preach for us today. Stephanie, we're so glad to see you. Thank you so much for being here morning. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Synthesizer with those, oh, it seems to be okay with those little blinking lights there. Please stand and join me as we sing Great I Am.
morning, good morning. I greet you in the precious and matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He has risen from the dead and he is Lord, and we should all be happy because we have a great God and we have a Savior. Amen? Amen. I am so happy to be here with you all. I bring you greetings from the church where I am currently serving, which is Galilee Baptist Church in Suitland, Maryland. And the pastor there is Reverend Lloyd T. McGriff, and so far, so good. But I must tell you that I do miss you all a lot. As I'm seeing your faces come in, I'm smiling and I'm remembering all the times that we've had together, and how I'm looking at Tony and I'm like, who is that? I don't mean to call you out, but we've been through a lot together, and by God's grace, we are still here praising and worshiping the Lord and just working it out. We're working out our salvation together. So to God be the glory for all the things he has done and continues to do in our lives. I am here at this time to check in with each of you, with you all, either in here or virtually, and to see how things are going. If you have a prayer request or a praise report that you would like to share with us, now is the time to do so. We will mute our or discontinue our video for just a moment so that we can be intimate and personal together and listen to one another. We invite those who are worshiping with us virtually to put your concerns in the chat, and we will be sure to acknowledge them and include those in our prayers. So at this time, if there's anyone who would like to share, please do so at this time. We are listening, and God is listening as well. Sister. And yes, we want to pray for those who suffered damage or loss or even inconvenience as a result of yesterday's storms. I am one of those people. but God is good. And to your point, Thelma, I saw people working on the trees and clearing things out and trying to restore us. And for that, I am truly grateful. That people are out there working on our behalf and doing good for the community. Thank you so much. Anything else? Anyone else? Okay, at this time we'll bring our virtual congregants back, and we will go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and eternal God, we come first and foremost to say thank you. We thank you for who you are and all that you have done in our lives. We thank you that by the power and your might in all the universe, you have supplied all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And because you and you alone are God, and you are worthy of our praise, our adoration, and our thanks. Now, Lord, you have heard the petitions of your people here at Village Baptist Church, and you know that there are many. Many have been spoken relating to the health of our congregants, health of people in their families, and the health of their friends and people in their immediate circle. And Lord, we lift their situations up to you at this time, knowing and believing that you will provide the comfort, the restoration, the balm that is needed to each and every person. We ask you, dear God, to look over those who are traveling and will be traveling. We know that the roads can be treacherous and people are not always nice. And so we ask you, dear God, to wrap your arms of protection around them as they come and as they go, that they may return safely to us at the appointed time. We lift up a prayer, especially for those who serve the public in ways that we take for granted way too often. Our servicemen and women, firefighters, and those who serve the community to keep us safe and out of harm's way. And we are grateful for those people who think it not robbery to put themselves ahead, to put themselves in places of discomfort for our benefit. We thank you for this worshiping congregation that through it all, and day in and day out, and year in and year out, through ever, we are learning to trust you in all things. And we ask you to continue to guide our feet as we run this race. Give us the heart to be the people that you need us to be in this present time. And if it be your will, send some people our way. And may we be found faithful to nurture them in the Christian faith and walk alongside of them so that they may know that you are a good and gracious God and that Jesus Christ is the way. This prayer we lift in the name of Jesus, the one who came to save us all. Lift this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Good morning. It's time for the children's story. Come on up. The young at heart. Well, good morning, church. Good morning, kids. How are you? So in a little bit, Reverend Stephanie is going to give a sermon from the book of Romans. So I looked in there and tried to think of something that I could share worthwhile and get you to think about. One thing that's important for us to know is that God's love for us, it never fails. Nothing can get between us and God. Now, can I ask you all a question, my children up front? Have any of you ever done something that you were afraid that your mom or dad or a teacher or someone you love was going to be upset with you? You don't have to tell me what it was, but has there ever been a time? There has. Do I see all heads nodding or Avery Jo? No, not you? Never? Never? Okay. So, but I thought I would share a story from my childhood that kind of gets to the point of the book of Romans, at least the 8th chapter. So I was in 2nd or 3rd grade, so that is quite a long time ago at this point. And it was report card day. I'm of an age where when you got your report cards, the teachers gave it to you to take home. It wasn't electronic. So you had more time to think about it if it wasn't quite what you wanted, right? And so, you know, some of my grades were good. I was always good at reading and music and social studies. And it may surprise people in the congregation to know that I had a bit of an opinionated kind of strongly held views when I was a kid. So sometimes my marks and things like behavior weren't always so great. I know that surprises you because you know me to not be someone that doesn't have opinions or have them strongly held. What is it, son? I was okay in math. But it wasn't what I was best at, and it certainly wasn't what I wasn't as good at. So I got my report card, and I knew I was going to have to go home and face the music. And it wasn't the first time that I was going to have to go home and show my parents a report card where it was obvious that I ran my mouth a bit too much in school. I got really scared, just like you would be if you had done something that you thought was going to make someone that you loved upset with you or even make God upset with you. So at this point in my life, we were living in Maryland. We had moved from North Carolina for good. And so I had it in my mind that the way to get around this dilemma, and this is also going to cause some chuckles, I really thought I was going to get on the road and walk home to North Carolina to see my grandma, Sarah. That was going to make everything better. So I knew the first thing I had to do was get to 95 South. I didn't have it all figured out. We didn't live too far from Kenilworth Avenue in Riverdale, so I figured if I could just get to 95 South and just go straight for a couple of hours, I was going to be well on my way. But I was a bit hungry, so I stopped at 7-Eleven and got myself some snacks and a Mountain Dew, which I could drink when I was a kid. And I started walking, and I walked, and I walked some more, and I walked some more. And then I noticed that I hadn't made it to 95 yet, and it was starting to get dark outside. Then I really got scared. I was scared for more than just what Mom and Dad were going to say about about my report card. I was really, really starting to get scared and was like, I'm going to be in so much trouble, right? So much trouble. So I was getting hungry again, and I decided there was a McDonald's there, so I said, let me go get something to eat, because in my mind, a snack from 7-Eleven and a meal at McDonald's are going to get me all the way to North Carolina, all the way. I did get smarter as I got older, I promise you. But luckily for me, as I was so frightened and so afraid of going home to see my parents, that a police officer happened to be at the same McDonald's getting himself something to eat. I was so afraid at that point I couldn't even speak. I was shaking. I had been walking forever. I kind of knew where I was. I hadn't made it to 95 yet because I didn't know what to do. So the police officer talked to me for a little bit, and he asked me what was going on and why I was walking around. So I told him, I said, you know, got to go home and show my parents a report card that's got some good stuff and some not so good stuff, and they're not going to be happy about it. And he asked me where I lived, and I knew my address. And so he took me home. And when I got home, I had caused quite a commotion in my neighborhood. There were several police cars in the neighborhood. Adults were all out. My friends were all out. Like, I had really caused a commotion. But something that stood out to me after I got home and my parents gave me a talking to, first of all, for leaving. Second of all, for embarrassing the family name by thinking I could walk to North Carolina as a third grader on nothing but a Snickers bar, Mountain Dew, and maybe a cheeseburger, right? But the thing that's important to remember is there are going to be times in our lives when we're kids, when we're grown-ups, where we're going to do things where we think, there's no way God can forgive me for this, right? He's going to be mad, or our parents are going to be mad. But you got to remember, God always receives us back, no matter what we do. Sometimes we may not go to church like we should. Sometimes we may not pray as much as we should. Sometimes, as humans, we just don't do the right thing. But God still forgives us. So never forget, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter how bad you think it is, God is always going to be there for you. So let's say a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come together in our beautiful village this morning. And we pray that no matter how old we are, no matter the kind of decisions that we make that may not be good ones, please remind us that you're always going to be there for us. Nothing can separate you from our love. You gave your only begotten Son so that we could live. And if you could do that, then there's nothing we could do that could keep us from your love. So let's remember that as we go forth. In the Lord's name, amen. We're going to stay here for some special music.
It's so exciting to hear about all the things going on in, for us this summer. And I had to remind myself to pause and, although we're busy, that I need to keep, Christ closer to me. And the song came to my heart that A Closer Walk was a reminder to do that. So. I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Now when my feeble life is over and time for me will be no more. Please guide me gently, safely over to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. As I take just a closer walk with thee, grant it, Jesus, if you please. Daily walking close to thee.
is a snare. If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who will feel my burden spare? None but thee, Lord, none but thee. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Let it be.
Thank you, Renee. That was my mom's favorite song. Good morning, Village. Our scripture today comes from Romans 8, 26 through 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us, who will separate us from the love of Christ. Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written. For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. May God add his blessings to this, his word.
Amen.
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 Will you pray with me? Master, speak, thy servant heareth. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? And now, Lord, either through me or in spite of me, may your word go forth to these your people. May it soothe, correct, inspire, comfort them in the way that only your word can. We lift this prayer and this sermon to your glory. Amen. These are anxious times in which we are living. Anxiety is now a medical condition, and it is so much a part of our lives that we accept it as the way that we have to live. Now, I'm aware that there are some people who are whose physiological makeup makes them more prone to hypersensitive responses to stimuli, and I'm not belittling this condition. But being anxious is really also an environmental or a contemporary situation that we are living in and just have to live with in our background noise. And it is a result of all of the information that we are forced to consume. We have the internet, we have instant messaging, we have text messages. At work, you might have something called Slack, where there are multiple conversations going on at any time, and you're expected to keep up with all of that. I'm so glad I have retired, but I've heard about these things. And it's just almost too much. And we think that we're supposed to process all of this information and do something with it, but the anxiety comes because most of the time there's nothing we can do with this information or about the situation. Yet we are forced to be aware and live with it. And then there's our human tendencies, I think, that make us want to control everything. You know, we are in the habit or the business of making ourselves mini gods, and we want to discover and improve and invent and remake and all of these kinds of things. And that's some of the God nature, because we are made in the image of God, and we are very unique in that we have very sophisticated brains and we can think. But I'm here to tell you that we are not God. We still, as human beings who are living, spiritual beings living a human existence, have to understand that God is in control of everything. Hard as we try, we cannot make the sun come up. We cannot make the sun go down. We cannot make the moon rise. We cannot control the wind or the weather. God is still God, and God is sovereign. And so as his called out people, we are reminded that we are to live by faith. We have to step out on faith, and a lot of what we do is just by faith in God. Now, this passage that we read is a delight for believers. I believe that the word will preach itself if you read it, if you let it. We heard a lot of scripture, and I think that's a good thing. In church, you should hear scripture. I think that's a good thing. And I hope that you will read it again, even more slowly, and take some time to meditate on it in its entirety when we leave. But again, it reminds us that we as believers, could you put it back up, Dave? Could somebody put the scripture back up for me? The second slide. Yeah, that's good. It reminds us that we are to be led by the Spirit. And one of the things I think we leave out a lot of times is the fact that we are to be led and guided by the Spirit. Holy Spirit is a mystery, right? We cannot know all that there is to know about the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is our comforter, it's our guidance, that God has left us, and we leave it on the table a lot of times. But this scripture reminds us that as believers, it's very important to be led by the Spirit and believe in the Spirit and to believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that we are more than conquerors because of the Holy Spirit's presence. There's a few things, and I won't be before you long. There's a few things that jump out to me that I want to point out to you. And again, the scripture is amazing because you can read the same scripture over and over again. It's how many, if this is not your first time in church, this is not the first time you've heard this scripture. But we are renewed, and as we go through life and as we experience things, we come at the scripture differently because of our experiences. And so even if you've read it before, you've heard it before, today is a new day. The situations in which you have going on in our lives are different. And so we come with this expecting the Spirit to speak to us again in this moment and for this particular situation. And so as I was preparing, this is what I got and what the Spirit has shared with me to share with you. When we get wrapped up in our own anxieties, we are to remember. The first thing we do is to remember. And this is how we can become fully persuaded in the moment and whatever situation we find ourselves in. The first thing we do is to remember. Memory is a gift. When we gather here and have communion on Sunday mornings, we are remembering how the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross, and that empowers us, that lifts us up, that helps us to remember, that helps us to go forward. And so likewise, this scripture, the first thing we do in order to be fully persuaded that God is here, God is going to work things out, is to remember. We remember how far God has already brought us. Can I get an amen? We got to remember how far God has brought it. It is God who made us and not we ourselves. We did not get here by our own might. We don't stand here by our own might. And the problems and the situations that we have had and gone through are not because we figured it out along the way. A lot of times it was by God's great hand that things worked themselves out. If you're like me, you can remember a few sleepless nights and some tears and some hand-wringing about some things that never even happened. Because that's what anxiety really is. You're worrying about stuff that might happen, and 9 times out of 10, it doesn't happen, right? Right? So all of that anxiety, all of that wasted time, worrying about stuff that never even happened, because why? Because we want to work it out ourselves instead of asking God to work it out or believing that God can work it out. And when we remember, we can recall how many times, time and time again, that God has worked it out. I don't know about you. Y'all know I like the old songs. But I got a couple old songs for you. Mahalia Jackson. Woo. She sang a song that says, "How I Got Over." Anybody know that song? How I Got Over. It says, "My soul looks back and wonders how I got over." And that's a word right there. If you look back where you were 20 years ago or 10 years ago, whatever, you remember, you say, "I don't think I could have gotten through that." Through the loss of a loved one, through a job loss, or something as tangible as that. But here we stand, broken yet whole. And as a result of that, we know who God is and that God is still on the throne, and that there's most things, there's a lot of things that are not under our control, and we have to live and walk and live by faith. And then there's another one. There's another song that says, "Jesus can work it out." It said, "The problems that I had, I just couldn't seem to solve." I prayed. Just kept getting deeper involved. And then it says, "I gave it over to Jesus," and what? I stopped worrying about it. I gave it over to the Lord, and he worked it out. And God will work it out. God has worked it out if we let. That's the if, right? If we let him. The second thing that this scripture brings to mind as I interacted with it this time is that we have to trust that God knows what's best for us, right? Again, we cannot control our own fate. There's some things we can do. I'm not encouraging us to be lazy and let God do everything, because God don't want us to do that either. We do our part, then we let God do the rest. That's what I'm trying to say. But we got to trust that God is going to work things out and that God is going to do what's best for us. I have to admit that I'm having a little bit of trouble with this artificial intelligence. Now, they say it's going to change our lives, and our lives are going to be so much better because of artificial intelligence. I don't understand all of it. There's different kinds. Ask Dave. He could probably tell you the different types of artificial intelligence. But I'm going to tell you why I'm not so hyped up on artificial intelligence. Because more times than not, I have spent too much time with these automated answering machines and automated people trying to help me with my problem. Too much time. We go round and round. They say, I don't understand your question. I'm not sure what you're talking about. And we go round and round and round. My point is that there's some things that technology cannot do. And sometimes we need a real human being to talk to feel us, to understand our emotions, to hear the inflections in our voices when we're having a problem, and to be empathetic with us. And that makes the difference between artificial intelligence, automated machines, and the human touch. And it is that way with our relationship with God. Artificial intelligence is not going to be the answer to our problems. A relationship with a God who loves us, understands us, and wants what's best for us is what's going to make our lives better. That's how we advance as human beings. That's how we advance the kingdom. That's how we make the world a better place, because we as believers want to be fully persuaded that God is God, God understands all about our troubles, and God knows what's best. That's the second thing that this passage of scripture that jumped out at me this time. And then the third thing, and I think I mentioned this all already, is that the Holy Spirit really is a gift for us, and that we should access it and depend on it as we grow in faith and in Christ. And for me, this time reading it, this 37th verse really knocked me off my feet. I love the way it sounds when I read it, but this time it really penetrated my spirit. Because it says that I am convinced, and other versions might say persuaded, that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor anything present nor things to come nor the powers. I'm going to stop right there. Do you understand, or do we fully understand, that God is with us in this life as well as eternity? And forever and ever and ever, and when this scripture says nothing can separate us, it means nothing. Somebody say nothing. There's no exceptions. There's no caveats. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. All right? In this life, in the next life, with problems, good times, bad times, heartaches, setbacks, low bank accounts, pastors not here, anything that you could come up with, God is able to see us through, and God is with us. The Holy Spirit goes ahead of us. That's what the scripture says. The Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. So, I'm wrapping up to tell you, whatever you might be going through personally, corporately, it's going to be all right. And as we advance and as we grow in the Spirit, as we, going back to my Methodist roots, as we press on to Christian perfection, because you know this is a continuum, right? We go little by little, we go bit by bit, together, day in, day out, fully persuaded, marching to Zion, becoming whole, trusting, believing that God is with us, and if God be for us, who can be against us? This is the word God has given me for you this morning. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Please stand and join us as we sing Standing on the Promises. It's been my pleasure to be with you. I would extend an invitation to learn more about the Christian faith and to learn more about this congregation. Even in the absence of a permanent pastor, we are still the church, and God is still here. So if there's anyone under the sound of my voice or that may be listening or joining us virtually, please contact the church for more information. And we will be in prayer and assist you in any way that we can. And now for the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Father, Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power now and forever. And the church said, Amen.
oppression, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's all right.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
I smile. Even though I hurt, see, I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on
in.
People.
You look so much better when you smile, so smile.
Now every day ain't gonna be perfect, but it still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on!
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, bud.
Today's a new day, but tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
That Holy Ghost power, y'all,
fell from heaven like a shower down.
Now I know we've been hurt, y'all, but still,
I smile.
Come on.
Even though I hurt, see, I smile.
Y'all feel that? Whatever you're in right now,
smile for me.
Smile.
Can you just smile for me?
And my people say,
oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, you look so much better when you're, oh, 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 you look so much better when you're, oh, oh,
I say,
oh, you look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
And while you're waiting,
you look so much better.
Yeah,
oh, oh,
and while you're praying,
you look so much better when you're, oh, oh,
look in the mirror,
you look so much better when you're, oh, oh.
Always remember,
you look so much better when you smile.
Come on.
I almost gave up,
I almost gave up,
that I can't explain,
but the Holy Ghost power, y'all,
fell from heaven, like
came down from heaven
down.
Hardships, difficulties,
right now,
tears, storms, this is what I do. Oh, that feels good.
I know God is working, so I smile.
All things are working.
Even though I'm in it for a while,
still,
I smile. Smile.
Hallelujah.
It's so hard to look up when you've been down.
I know it's hard right now.
Sure would hate to see you give up now.
Because you're a winner.
You look so much better when you smile.
You look better.
So smile. Oh, oh, oh.
Dallas.
You look so much better when you're, oh, oh, oh.
New Orleans.
You look so much better when you're, oh, oh.
Come on. I want you to be happy, but then you gotta have something happen. I want you to have joy, cause can't nobody take that from you. I see you smiling.